The title of my sermonette is indeed The Exit Interview, and it's I have to chuckle because I have notebooks. I'm sure Mr. Rank does as well. It's our fountain pen notebooks that we might write, you know, something serious, but we might also just doodle. And I was doodling in one and came upon it a couple weeks ago. I was going to recycle it because it wasn't really anything important, and I turned a couple of pages just to double check, and I saw, you know, this my phrase I had written, The Exit Interview of Death. And it I was being silly and playful at the time because it's like, and I'll get into exit interviews and what that is, but it just, in the mood I was in that day, it was just all about, well, isn't that the reality, that we all have an exit interview at some point, and it's not about a job. The exit interview of death, it made me smile, and again, not because death is funny in any way, it's downright awful for those of us left behind. However, if you couple the concept with something far more carnal that we live with every day, like the business world, you can find some humor in it. If you've ever been in a corporate setting, even a church group, and we talk about the old days of Worldwide, it was a large corporate structure, a significant corporate entity. But if you've had experience in an organization, you've no doubt come across the concept of the exit interview. And what is that? Well, when a person is going to leave an organization, often the human resources department will ask, would you sit down for an exit interview with us so we can get some insight into your relationship with the organization, with your supervisor? What can we learn from you? And, you know, maybe a little bit, what can you learn from us as you move on? It's that process, that exercise of moving on from that company or the organization. And as I say, it's mainly in the context of the human resources function. I've been responsible for that in my various capacities for many, many years. And it's not to berate the employee in any way. It's not to sit down and say, we have our last chance with you where we can get on your case. It's really to learn from one another if the person is willing. And often it doesn't happen, but sometimes it does, and it can be really beneficial both ways. The last thing a company wants is to have a situation with an employee or a school with a teacher, where you have string of teachers and students that want to leave because of that person. And again, if you can nip it in the bud through an exit interview, you're doing well. If you follow college football at all these days, there's something called the transfer portal, which is basically an exit strategy for players that feel like they're no longer loved or, in our modern world, paid enough, which is, there are players that are getting paid more than faculty at our universities, which is, it's a whole other conversation. But any student athlete can decide to move on from their school if they're not happy, not getting enough playing time, or not, again, getting paid enough. The point, why would a productive and talented staff member of a company decide to leave? When I think of the fact that death often comes without a pink slip, and if you are old enough, you know what a pink slip is. It's something that happens the day you get told you were no longer going to be with the company and this was your last paycheck, that sort of thing. As true Christians, we know that we must always be in a state of readiness. And I mentioned the severe winds that we just dealt with in very dry conditions. That was the big concern, was not just the wind and electricity, but the dry conditions that could spark fires, wildfires that we had just four seasons ago here in Colorado, which destroyed absolute neighborhoods here, much like what happened in California not long ago. What would our exit interview with our Creator at the time of our judgment include? And that's really the point that I want to make. That's what we're really focused on. Everything else is just, as I said, carnal human structures. As true Christians, we're tested all the time, and we know this. We talk about it all the time, sermonettes and sermons, one after the other. We know that we may be punished in this life for our sins and failings. We also know that we will be tested as true Christians simply because we align with Jesus Christ. And that's the part of our calling. In essence, we're being judged even ahead of our final judgment with our Creator as we are tested for our willingness and ability to obey and be true to our faith in our Savior. So I want to begin with our first scripture by considering 1 Peter 4 and verses 17 and 18. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Again, 1 Peter 4, verses 17 and 18. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Continuing verse 18, and if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? We know that more is expected of true Christians because of our calling and our deepening faith and our understanding. And this makes sense. Just as more is expected of an employee, one who's entrusted with greater responsibility and authority, and are surprised, and we can be surprised when and if they fall short, as we all can, and I know I do, from time to time. However, we know that we're running the marathon, to use another analogy, and not the sprint. And if you've ever run a longer race in life, you know you've got to be pacing yourself, be very mindful of your condition and your realities, and really stay true to what it takes to do that. We know we'll occasionally stumble, and we need food and water and adequate rest as well to be able to be prepared for that marathon. And the same goes with our spiritual lives, and I'm sure you can see the connection and the context. In order to prepare for that exit interview that we will have with our Creator, we must take spiritual food and water constantly. And we know we're talking about the Scriptures, and we know we must get adequate rest. And any ideas of where that comes from? Of course, the Sabbath days and the holy days of rest and observance of God's laws. That's what it's intended for, that spiritual food and water and rest that we can all take full advantage of in our faith and our preparation. So let's deepen this understanding again with Scripture, and we're going to stay with 1 Peter, and we're going to look at 1 Peter 1 and verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Continuing in 7. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Often, as humans, we seek to assign a reason for our failings in life, in this life. That's a human thing to do. It is. And hopefully as we grow in age and our understanding of our faith, we do that less and less. There's a phrase that some of us in the room might recognize. It's post hoc ergo propter hoc. It's Latin. Some of our audience here understands this. What it means is after this, therefore, because of this. An example in life is I took a certain vitamin supplement and I felt more energy. Therefore, the vitamin worked. That's not a straight line. It's often, it's illustrating a false relationship. But we often want to blame something for what results in our lives. That's the point I'm trying to make with that phrase. And it has just stayed with me for many, many years, because we have to take responsibility. We can't escape this. And you know, again, as we prepare for that time with our Creator, that exit interview, we have to hearken back. And I go back to 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. If as, but I'm not, again, just bear that in mind. If as true Christians we failed this test, what is to become of non-believers? Finally, I'd like to consider one final scripture in this discussion today. Romans 5 and verses 3 and 4. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So that is a perfect relationship to show us what we can gain by staying close to God as we're preparing, again, as I started the sermonette, the point that we have to be preparing constantly. We have to always be ready, and this illustrates that. Perseverance, character, hope, faith in God, trust, obedience, that's how we prepare. Not always easy, we're human, but we can always come back to it through repentance. And these are the vital elements of our spiritual go box. And again, we're talking about, as I started out, talking about the winds and potential for wildfires. You know, we talk about having a go box of your valuables, your papers, things that you want to take with you. That's, you know, not easy to do in this life. We all, you know, you get attached to certain things, and they're only things. But we have to have the things we can rely on in times of crisis and routine to keep us on track and ready for that interview, and that is the scriptures that we rely on, that Bible that everyone has in their lap right now. That's our go box, and that's how we prepare for that interview.